Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is related to mindset, and it's in regards to overcoming stress and getting along with others. Speaking of others, there's somebody vacuuming outside the door of the office, so I hope it's not too loud. That's hilarious timing. There is stress when it comes to trying to get along with other people. So we all, if I were to say to you, like, you know, what's that one person that annoys the crap out of you? We all pretty much think of somebody like right away. So maybe there's somebody at work, maybe somebody in like your circle of friends that's kind of a butthead and always drives you nuts. But getting along with other people or trying to get along with other people can create stress in our life. So it is something that's important and something we want to look at. It might not be something as big as some other areas we've looked at, or seemingly as big. So we've talked about worry, we've talked about hurry, in terms of kind of always feeling busy and kind of overburdened. We talked about social media. Today we're talking about this, like getting along with others. And the last one we'll have in this series will be the fear of the future. So if you look at that list, this might not be something that jumps out at you right away. However, it is important, especially for people in the service industry. So if you have to, if your job relies on dealing with other people, then that is going to cause you stress because people will let you down all the time. And we do it to others as well. So it's not like we can talk bad on everybody else and think that we're all saints and we don't do anything wrong. So, but there are people who just let you down. So they promise things they don't follow through with. You know, you set appointments and people don't come. You ask people to do something for you and they don't follow through with it. There's constant times where we're going to be let down by other people. And how we navigate some of that. So that's something we can talk about. So some common areas that people think of, like in terms of getting along with other people, is work. So if you think of like your boss, so I have actually been my own boss for most of my life. So I can't whine and complain about that too much. So my first ever job was cutting grass with my brother. So technically my brother would have been my boss. And I love my brother, but he was a pain in the ass as a boss. He would be like my dad, is they want everything done their way. So it didn't matter if you got, you know, something from A to B, if it wasn't done in the exact manner that they wanted from A to B, then you were wrong. So it was good to have that, though, because something my brother and my dad have taught me over my life is that excuses don't matter. You either did it or you didn't do it. You either did it right or you didn't do it. So no one gives a shit why you didn't do something. If you're supposed to do it, you do it. If you didn't do it, it doesn't matter what the hell reason you had. It didn't get done. So my brother and my dad are very much that way, and not a bad thing. It's just, it's a very, it's abnormal, I guess, in today's culture. So a lot of people in today's culture, we end up making a lot of excuses, and we've kind of fooled ourselves into thinking that the excuse replaces the work. It doesn't. It just, it's a reason why you didn't do the work, okay, but it doesn't replace the work. It doesn't make it okay. So if I was supposed to do my homework, so to speak, in school, and I have an excuse for why my homework didn't get done, okay, well, that's the reason that explains it. You're still going to get a zero on the assignment. And that's the way life works as an adult. So it was good for me to learn that. I think I was like 14 or 15 or something when I started cutting grass with my brother. But it was good to learn that it doesn't matter. Like, if somebody paid you to cut their grass, you either cut the grass or you didn't. It didn't matter why you couldn't do it. You'd still have to give them the money back, or you still would have not followed through with your side of the agreement, and that would have negative business consequences in the sense of people now kind of not being able to rely on you. So excuses are just a reason why it didn't get done. It doesn't make up for what didn't get done. So there's not, like, it's not like a replacement. Like, okay, I could have eaten well on my diet today. Oh, but so-and-so visited, and, you know, they always it's hard to, you know, they always want to have fun food. So basically, say it's a college friend. So, and let's assume you're listening to this after college. So, is, you know, you had something planned for that day, a friend came to visit, so you went out to eat and you had fun, you had a couple drinks and da-da-da-da. So that friend is the reason why you didn't follow your diet. Sure. But you don't get the results of following your diet if you didn't actually follow your diet. doesn't matter why you didn't do it. If you didn't do it, you don't get it. Does that make sense? So that's something that I learned from my brother and my dad that helped me a lot. A lot. Because our culture today does allow excuses in the sense of thinking that that's okay. But it is absolutely not okay. Excuses don't do shit. So that was a really good lesson for me from my one boss, my first boss, my brother. So, that's something you guys might struggle with is, you know, a boss or a coworker, somebody at work who's kind of a pain in the ass. You don't really like them, and they're a Debbie Downer on your life. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. We also might have friends or even a family member who kind of bothers us. And, you know, I would have had that in high school, I'm sure. I don't really remember. I either blocked it out because it was so miserable or it wasn't that bad. But often when we have a circle of friends, there's that one person who is just different than you. And when you go to parties, you're always hoping that person isn't going to be there. And then, of course, they're usually there, and they're usually, like, sitting right where you need to sit. So it's like the humor of life ensures that you have to deal with that person. So, but we all have those things. So let's look at five ways in which we can manage how to get along with those people. So, again, this could be if you're a service job and you have to deal with people all day. These are some things that might help, but this is going to be more so how to get along with people that you see on a repetitive basis. And I think that's going to be where these rules fall into play the most. And that's usually why we get stress related to others, is getting along with others in regards to people who are in our life constantly. Now, I can definitely make a separate podcast about kind of service industry stress around people, like how to handle people that you don't see on a regular basis. There are definitely steps for that. But let's look at this one today based on people who are kind of in our life on a regular basis, and we got to deal with them. So how do we deal with them well, or deal with them better? So one of the first things I do is I try to remind myself of my own faults. So if I see somebody doing something, and this is something like let's say in the gym, like somebody doesn't put equipment away. So we had somebody join recent, we'll just say recent, so that way if they do listen to this, they don't feel like I'm calling them out. However, if it is you, the story is going to involve somebody not putting equipment away. So if you think that's you, put your shit away, okay? So I might not even be talking about you, but if you're aware of the fact that you don't put stuff away, start doing that. What the hell's wrong with you? So, but often that's the mindset I get into sometimes when I see somebody, they come into the gym and, you know, even if they're a nice person, they'll use stuff in the gym, but they'll leave like the collars that you use on the barbells to secure the weights. Like they'll put the weights away, but they leave the collars just on the floor. And in my mind, I'm like, you didn't find them on the floor. That isn't where you picked, like you didn't get them from the floor. Why the hell would you return them to the floor? Why wouldn't you just put them back where you picked them up? That seems ridiculously common sense. But people aren't usually paying attention. So they just grab them wherever they grab them from, and they were thinking about something, something, something. They did their workout, and then they're thinking about something, 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 and they walk away. And, oh, hey, what do you know? The clips were on the floor. So people aren't very mindful of putting them away, putting equipment away. And I would be more mindful of it because I'm the one who does have to put it away if you don't. So, but even when I was younger, even when I worked out at like, you know, places I didn't own or places I didn't even personal train at, I still always try to put everything away. And it was kind of like taught to me by my parents, and respect for other people's equipment. I mean, other people's stuff. So we were taught to, if you're going to use somebody's thing or whatever it is, somebody else's stuff, you want to treat it with the best respect you possibly can, and you want to try to return it in the exact same condition or better condition. So I've borrowed friends' cars before and made sure I returned it with a full tank of gas, not, you know, half a tank or quarter tank or fumes. So you want to make sure you treat the person nice because they're allowing you to use their stuff. So, and that just kind of, it's nice on them. So, for example, I'll have people come in, and this is not like, not knocking on them that it's anything that they can control. It's just the situation, okay? So they'll come in, and they'll use collectively over $1,000 worth of equipment in a single workout. And they think for the $50 that they pay for membership, then that means they can beat the shit out of stuff and, you know, bang it around and leave it wherever they want to leave it. Hell no. So you'd have to come in for 20 years to pay for what you're touching right now. So, and it's just annoying. So when people think that their very minor investment gives them right to do any stupid, crazy shit that they want. And this would be true of anywhere in our life. So it's something that when I see that, so when I see people not putting stuff away, it does get me mad. It's a struggle that I have to get along with somebody, with that person. But how I battle that is one of the ways is reminding myself of my own faults. So I have forgotten to put equipment away myself. So I actually have 8 mistakes in 8 years. I'm averaging 1 mistake a year, which is annoying because I'd like to have 0. But where I have forgot something. So I trained somebody and kind of got to talking, got sidetracked with another project. Another person came in, this or this or this. And then all of a sudden I'll see somebody putting a piece of equipment away that I left out. And I'm like, damn it. You know, there they are having to put work towards my laziness. So I was too lazy to put that away. I wasn't mindful of it. And now it burdens their life. So that's kind of a bummer. I don't like that. So, but I have done it. So when I see people not putting stuff away, I'll think to myself, hey, you know what? Even I've forgotten. So, you know, I got to understand that people are humans. They're gonna make mistakes. They're going to be forgetful. Sometimes, you know, they got bigger things going on in their life than where those callers are. So I have to kind of remind myself of that. So we can also think of it as like a kind of a side example is I've been talking with my sorry, Dad, you're coming up quite a bit in this podcast. But I've been talking with my dad, and he's struggling to make working out a normal routine in his life because he doesn't really like working out. And we've talked about how even though I love working out and in the scope of just working out, to me it'd be like, how the hell couldn't somebody not do this? Like, this is freaking awesome. This is fun. This is, you know, a great thing. Why would you not want to do this? And I thought to myself was, it's probably the same as me thinking of, like, trying to clean up my car. So my car doesn't have any wild animals running around in it, but it's not super duper clean. So I try to keep the garbage out of it, but I probably haven't vacuumed that thing in like a year. There's probably dust everywhere. So I don't take great care of the inside of my car. But that's something that it's annoying for me to clean that car. I don't really find it highly valuable. The car will still get me from A to B, even if it has a little bit of dust in it. So it's kind of like I don't really value that. And therefore, I won't do it. So I told my dad before, I said, like this was my revelation, was getting someone with his mindset towards working out to actually work out would be like getting somebody with my mindset towards cleaning my car to actually clean my car. So when I figured I'd try that, like, so the day I start cleaning my car on a regular basis is the day I could be justifiably annoyed or mad at my dad or judging my dad for not working out. Now, I don't judge my dad at all. So he's got a lot of work. He works long hours, you know, makes money for the family and stuff. So he has a lot of commitments there. So, but that's something we could think of is reminding ourselves of our own faults. So where do we mess up? So maybe we don't mess up in the same spot that person does that annoys the crap out of us, but we probably mess up in other areas of our life. So we have to recognize that if we have those areas where we're not correct and perfect, then maybe this is one of those areas for that person. So maybe what you're mad about them not doing or doing is the same thing as what you struggle with in a different area. So you have to have, I don't know what the proper word is for it, but compassion, I guess, or understanding that not everybody is going to be perfect in the areas that you're perfect in. And just like you have mistakes in certain areas of your life, they're going to have mistakes in certain areas of their life. And maybe, just maybe, you guys kind of lap over where your strength is their weakness. So that annoys you. So that's something you look at, is reminding of your own faults. Another thing we have is seeing the good. So often, I made a post about this, I don't know, like a month or two ago, how it's funny that often the people who don't put any equipment away in the gym or not on a really good regular basis, they tend to be super happy, very playful, fun people. So they make other members happy and they're excited and they kind of brighten the room, but they leave the room so damn messy. So they have the one negative characteristic of not cleaning up after themselves, but they have a really big positive characteristic of being very positive and friendly and fun, and they're a good addition to the kind of cultural feel of the gym. So I always try to do that and say, okay, hey, you know what, that person's freaking awesome. Everybody loves them when they're here. So if I have to take, you know, a minute or two and clean up stuff after they leave, it's not that bad. So, and it wouldn't be that bad, except for there are like 40, 50, 60 people coming through here. So a minute or two after everybody adds up. But these people, at least they have some good value. They have some positives. So you have to understand that, again, just like with ourselves, is we have some goods, we have some bads. So they have some good sides. And would hating on that person be worth, like, such a, like, dismissing the entire person, let's say that. So would dismissing the entire person just based on one small fault be reasonable? Absolutely not. And you'll actually take away the good stuff that that person could offer from your life. So if there's somebody in your life that does annoy the crap out of you, and you're having trouble dealing with them, trying to remind yourself of the faults that you have and then trying to see the good in them does help. Okay, so if you're going to have to be around them, try to find the good stuff in them. Try to focus more on that. Try to value that more and devalue the negative things. So don't let the negative things throw away the whole person. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. So make sure you recognize the good in the person and you remind yourself that probably overwhelmingly there's more good to them than there is bad. So you just have to kind of remind yourself of that on a regular basis. The next thing we have, the next kind of like kind of step you can kind of take is avoiding the person. So it's easier to avoid somebody that annoys us than it is to sit with them and try to resist the annoyance. So this is the same as true of like temptations in our life. So, you know, if I'm trying to quit smoking cigarettes, then if I were, you know, stop hanging around people who smoke cigarettes, that would probably help. If I'm trying to quit, you know, eating unhealthy foods, the less I have unhealthy food around me, so the less I have it in my house, the less I go to, you know, ice cream parlors and stuff like that, the easier it will be. So it's easier to avoid things that we don't like than it is to resist them. So that's something you can try to do, is try to spend less time around them. And I know that's going to be very hard for certain things like a boss. So you can't really choose to spend less time around your boss. But there might be other situations or other people who have like people that they struggle dealing with, and maybe avoidance is an option for them. So let's say, for example, like I'm always going to relate things often to the gym world because that is my world. But let's say there's somebody in the gym that you can't stand. They annoy the crap out of you. You hate them. Every time they come in the room, you just get really negative. Well, try to work out at a different time. So maybe you can come in the mornings rather than coming in the evenings. So if you know they're going to be in the evenings, maybe you can find out what their schedule is. So maybe they're there on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so you can start working out on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So oftentimes people will say, well, I'm not changing my life based on that person. Well, that person isn't going to change their life for you, dumbass. So they're not going to all of a sudden start changing. So if you want nothing to change, then change nothing. If you want something to change, then change something. You being all, you know, and egotistical and whatever self-importance you want to give yourself and saying, I'm not changing anything, well, fine, then nothing's going to change. So if you choose to change nothing, shut the hell up for the rest of us so we don't have to deal with your whining and complaining. So if you don't want to do anything about it, you don't get to whine about it. If you're in the process of trying to change things and that change is difficult, then yes, you can express some whining, you can express some, you know, venting, okay, if you're actually doing something. But if you're sitting there doing nothing, shut up, because that is a choice that you are now making. You don't get to complain about it if you've made the choice to allow it. Okay, but that's something we can think of. And then the next one we have is to kind of make them less important. Try to rely on them less. And this is interesting in a sense where it's a little bit weird way of saying it. But let's say, for example, that you have a really negative parent. So every time you try to tell your parent something, like some news in your life, they always find like a negative thing. It could be a family member, it can be a friend. So just somebody who's always negative on you. You know, no matter what you do, they're always trying to put you down. Well, trying to find less value in their approval of you is going to help you deload some stress. So if every time, say you're a woman in your like late 20s, early 30s, or even late 30s, and every time you go home, your mom always says, like, why aren't you married yet? Or, you're dating anybody? And you're probably like, shut up, you know? Just try to consider the fact that what they think of you isn't that important. So if that person has, it's not that the person isn't important to you at all. It's just that aspect of their approval isn't important. So you still want to be maybe like, you know, if it's your mom, you still want to maybe make make her proud in certain ways. You still want her to think overall, like, well of you, but you don't have to worry about the value of that one specific decision. So maybe your mom got married when she was 18, and that was just the way life was back then. And now all of a sudden you're 28 and you're not married because you went to college and she didn't. You had to kind of like search for a job and she never really had to. So there's a lot of differences in your life. So if she questions why you aren't married yet, just let that roll off you. Don't worry about that. So don't put any emotional stock into that. So that's the idea of it, is just make them less important, either in your life physically or in your life emotionally and mentally. So those are some ideas. I know these ones are kind of really broad-based, but they do help. So especially for me, the avoiding and the reminding of your own faults helps a lot. So the avoiding, for example, is if one of the things that I struggle with dealing with other people is there's a lot of people in my life. And how I kind of handle that is I know that when I show up to the gym, I am available to the people at the gym. So sometimes I actually stay home and do work from my house in the mornings, or I'll go home early and do work at my house at the night, in the evening, when I want to try to like separate myself from the people and kind of become less burdened by that availability. So that's something you can do, is maybe trying to find your own time to kind of get off in your own and kind of be alone or work on your own projects, have your own me time. So that avoidance thing is a big thing for me. And then reminding myself of other people, of my own faults, helps a lot. So anytime you start thinking you're too good for other people, and man, everybody around me is this and everybody around me is that, okay, you're not so damn special, okay? So just remind yourself of the things that you screw up, and it'll help you better understand and accept the things that other people screw up. So those are two things that have helped me a lot. And they sound fluffy and, you know, like, they kind of sound like that things you read in self-help books, but they don't actually help you. These have actually helped me, so I can speak in the sense of seeing that. So I have done that as well with seeing the good in somebody. So I have had some people in my life who, if it was up to me, I wish them well in their life, but I don't really want anything to do with them. So I'd be okay with them not being in my life. And some of the acceptance of that is understanding that, you know, they have some good things. They're good people. Maybe they have, one or two things that I don't like, or one of the two things that doesn't get along with me and how I want to live my life. So they have value. They have good things. And I hope they keep that up, but I just hope they keep it up at a distance. So sometimes that helps. So these are things that sound fluffy, but they are helpful. Now, what if none of the above kind of applies to your specific situation? Well, I'm going to give you a couple ideas that are going to sound funny, but again, they're things I've actually done in my life. So I have had times where, let's say I've been busy and I'm in a rush to get somewhere. I'm in a rush to get something done. And somebody stops me and they want to talk to me. And what they want to talk to me about is something that I don't deem very important. So they want to tell me some story and I'm like, for the love of God, I don't give a shit. Just get out of my way. So if you have that mindset, one of the things I've done before is I don't want to be an asshole any more than I already am. So I try to tell myself is, okay, you can calm down, man. Just breathe. Enjoy the story. Interact a little bit. But give yourself 2 minutes. So I have actually done this. So I'm about to give away a trade secret here. So is I have one of my, on my watch I have is like a $10 like piece of crap watch from Walmart. That way in case I bang it off equipment, I don't break it, a nice watch. But it also has a stopwatch feature, so when I train my clients, I can time certain things. So when I get into those situations, those conversations, I'll just kind of like casually reach down to my wrist and press the buttons I need to start a timer. I have the pattern, you know, memorized to not have to look at my watch. So I'll kind of like start the timer. I'll get involved in the story, try to find something value of it, you know, like say, yeah, I know, yep, that's cool, uh-huh, and you kind of play along, and then I'll casually, like, go to, like wipe my face somewhere, or wipe my eyebrow or something, and I'll look down at my watch, and I'll see what time it is, maybe it's only a minute 15, so I just kind of keep getting along with the story, feels like forever, and then all of a sudden, I'll look down, and it'll be, like, 2 minute timer. Well, then I go ahead and try to start the process of excusing myself out of the situation, and I get to move on, but I get to feel like at least I wasn't a total jackass, and I kind of gave them a little bit of time. So that 2 minute timer, I've done like 5 minute timers, but 5 minutes feels like an hour for some people. But that's something I've done, is I'll get myself to calm down and be quiet and settle down for at least, say, 2 minutes. So that's something you can do, and I have actually done it, like I said. And so if anybody's talking to me and you see me fiddling with my watch, you're probably not going to wonder if I find you annoying. Another thing I've done is I've played what I call the word game, where when somebody's talking to me and I don't really want to be in the conversation, I'll start trying to count words. So if they say, like how many times they say the word the, so when they're listening, like when they're talking, to try to catch every time somebody says the word the, it actually means that you have to start actually paying attention. You have to actively listen. So they're going to think that you're actually being a nice person and engaging. So I probably should not be telling you guys any of this. So I promise there are times when I actually do care and I do want to listen to somebody. But I'll start playing that game where I'll count how many times they say the word the, how many times they say the word and, you know, or stuff like that, where it's a pretty common word. And what I'll do is just kind of sit there. So as they're talking, they'll say it, and I'll go, one. They're still talking. All of a sudden, it comes up again, I'll go, two. So I'm kind of, like, looking right at them. I'm listening. I'm definitely paying attention, kind of, sort of, but more so to try to hear the word the than actually what they're saying. But that will keep your mind busy when somebody's telling you a story that you don't want to hear or you're bored with. So I'll do that. So that's a word game. The other thing I'll do is ask a more specific question to get them off track. So recently I met somebody at, we'll keep this vague-ish. So I was in a new place, different than my own gym, and there was somebody telling me a story about all the things that they had accomplished in their life. And it was just self-bragging, and it was a little, like, off. Like, they thought they were way, like, they thought they were, like, the cool shit. But they weren't at all, and but their ego had kind of like inflated to levels to protect themselves, so they had no interest in hearing the truth, and you could just tell that there would be no point in even like telling them the truth about anything. So you're just sitting in that conversation going, oh, this is awful. You know, this person's bragging about themselves, but they're not even that good at what they're bragging about. Like, geez, it is. So I'm trying to avoid specifics, but anyhow, so let's say the person's telling you about their numbers, like their bench, squat, and deadlift numbers, okay? So, like, you know, I could squat this, I could bench this, I could deadlift this, you know, and you're like, I don't really give a crap. So I had I had a conversation recently with somebody, and they were telling me how much they bench. And they're like, well, I weigh this much, and I can bench this much, and I think, you know, I've read that, you know, people who are my weight only bench this much, but I think that, you know, I can really bench this. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't care. So all of a sudden I interrupted him, and I said, well, how often do you train bench? And they kind of paused for a second. They go, well, twice a week. I said, well, how do you structure your workouts? So I tried to cut them off before they could talk anymore. So I started talking to them about, like, bench programming, which at least got them off of talking about all these damn numbers and all this stuff. So I'll ask more specific questions and push the conversation into a different area. And if you still make the question asking them their opinion or their knowledge, they'll follow you. If you try to take the conversation over, they're just going to drag it back to where they want it. So instead of dragging the conversation from them, you push the conversation somewhere else. So what you would do with that is you would ask direct questions, but a little bit off from what they were exactly talking about. So he was talking about benching, but now I asked about how often does he bench. And that threw him off. Then I asked him about, well, when you structure your bench, do you do like a heavy day and a light day? And all of a sudden the guy said, well, no, I just... yeah, well, I guess I do. Like, I do this and this. So he could tell from my question that might be a thing that he should be doing. So he started talking about that. And then we got off into something else. Then I think my time was up and somebody else interrupted, which was a miracle. So I kind of got away from that. But at least it wasn't that same horrible cycle of a conversation for the full time. I at least got them off into something else. So you can ask specific off-topic questions to push the conversation, not drag the conversation, but push it in a different direction. And then the other thing I do is helps. So just being good to mankind. So I don't know why I said manned. So good to mankind. There's no D on man. Is just doing good things for life. Like, so sometimes, you know, you get into a conversation with somebody, you can tell it's important for them or it's helpful for them. Has no value for you, but it's good for them. So you just kind of suck it up and deal with it. And that's your good deed for the day. So that's one of the ways you can deal with it, is just saying, hey, you know, I can't stand this person, but this person has nobody else in their life. They really don't have much else going on in their life. So let me just suck it up and deal with this every day, and at least I'm going to make that person happy. You know, so you can think of it in that way. So now that I just told you a bunch of secrets of why I pretend not to be an asshole when I actually am in certain situations, don't judge me too bad. Hopefully you guys do some of this yourselves. That way I'm not, like, the only person who thinks like this. That would be sad for me. So hopefully I'm as broken as the rest of you. But those are some ideas. So some things to look at is remind yourself of your own faults. That'll help you be more compassionate and better understanding of other people when they drive you nuts and they don't do something that you wanted them to do, so, or something that you expected of them to do. You make mistakes too, so people have forgiven you for your mistakes, so you should be forgiving other people of theirs. You want to also see the good in people. Recognize that there's no need, it's not beneficial, to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So just because they make one mistake in some area of their life doesn't mean they're a bad person or they're overall useless or not worthy or something like that. So recognize that they might have one bad spot in their life, but they have a lot of good things too. So the other thing we have is to avoid the person as much as you can. So avoid instead of resist. So rather than being around them and getting worn down by them, try to get away from them as much as you can. So change whatever you can about your life, your schedule, just kind of the order of things you do or where you go, and see if you can spend less time around them. That'll help. The next thing we have is make them less important. So put less value into their opinion of you. Put less value into their skills of you, like that you. So if you don't like your mechanic, go find a different mechanic. So sometimes there are ways for you to kind of just completely avoid the person in that way by making them less important. You just don't need what they have. Then that helps as well. So the last one we have is play those games. So you can have a 2-minute timer. Just try to be a nice person for 2 minutes, which can be very tiring sometimes. You can do the word game, where you try to count how many times they say a certain word. You can ask specific questions to drive the conversation off topic to somewhere else that might be more entertaining for you. And you can focus on just being a good person and doing your deed for that day. So what's a good thing that you can do that day to just help someone else? Okay? So it's really important that if you are having stress of getting along with other people, that you try these games, but then also have your alone time. Have your own time in life. Have some me time where you work on personal development and things that kind of make you happy. Then have alone time where you focus on de-stressing and just kind of getting away from the world. So those will make a big, big, big difference. So if you get stressed out by people, try to find less time around people. So try to, like, go for a walk if you can. Like, try to get out and about. Instead of watching TV, go for a walk. You know, listen to an audiobook, read a book. You know, pick up a hobby like a musical instrument or puzzles or whatever the hell people do. So just spend your time in more beneficial ways for yourself. So personal development, happiness, de-stressing. So try to get time away from people if people are what drives you nuts. Okay? So hopefully this was helpful in some way, or at least you got a little bit of laugh out of how much of a jerk I am. but cool. So if you have any troubles with this area in, like, your life and you want any more help or you have any questions or anything like that, reach out to us, okay? We're always happy to help. So our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. So if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. So the more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we would love, love, love to hear from you. So this podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. And our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.